Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, Dream Big listeners. I hope everyone's doing well today. It's gray in Michigan. What a surprise. I'm just kidding. I love gray. I wear gray all for 3 months. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I know why I'm talking about this because when you live in a city that has a tendency to be a little gray during the winter months, you must surround yourself with light. And that doesn't always mean physical light. It could mean emotionally and spiritually light. And that would be my person of interest today who I have on the radio show. Nadir Amawali. Hopefully I said your name right. I've been practicing it for 20 years. How are you, Mr. Nadir?
I'm doing very well, Jill. How about you?
I'm doing really good. So, you know, one thing I think is really important is that I like to surround myself with people who make me think outside of the box. And you are one of those people. And the reason you're one of those people to me is that I feel that you own who you are and all of you, which, by the way, listeners, there's a lot to Nadir. Okay. He is an amazing musician. He commands the stage like nobody's business. We did a concert together last summer called Concert of Colors, and I think there was 10 or 15 artists on the bill. And Nadir went out and just killed it and made the rest of our knees shake because we knew we had to somehow either, you know, I don't want to say top it because we couldn't, but at least bring it so that we wouldn't be, the audience wouldn't be like, what? But he killed it. And you just command a performance. I mean, I know I love to be on stage. How would you feel on stage?
When I'm on stage, it is the most myself that I usually feel. You know, if I'm well prepared, if I'm singing my music, when the band is on, everything, you know, that's when I feel at home, and that's when I really feel like I'm being me and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I think most often.
And you do feel that, like with artists. I mean, I a lot of people think we're crazy that we feel that way, that we're more ourselves there than anywhere. Have you always been comfortable on stage, pretty much?
Well, I mean, so I'm not always comfortable on stage. Like if for some reason you don't feel prepared, then I get extra nervous, or I get those butterflies that don't, you know, just don't feel right, don't feel centered. But preparation is always the key. So I always do my best to be as prepared as possible, or be in a situation where I feel like I can just roll with it. And I think, you know, that I've learned to roll with it quite a bit over the years as well.
Now, do you remember when we first met? Do you remember how we met?
Yes, I do.
So I'm going to tell the audience. It was the weirdest thing. We were selected, a bunch of artists were selected to get on buses. What were we promoting? A bank? I can't even remember.
It was LaSalle Bank. I think it wasn't it LaSalle Bank?
Yeah, it was. You're right. And I don't even know if that exists anymore. But we literally went
they changed their name to something else like a couple of years later. But
right.
But, you know, but they put a bunch of us together people I've been friends with now for, you know, wow, almost 20 years. Yeah.
It's amazing. You get on a bus with a bunch of musicians you don't know and you become really good friends forever, like you said. I mean, because we had all this time on our hands driving all over the place and really getting to know each other. And one of the things that I was amazed by you was that you were sitting in a corner doing paperwork. And I was like, in the corner of the bus, you were like making sure that all your songs were licensed and doing all the things that most of us musicians always put off till the last minute. It's like doing your taxes or changing your guitar strings. We don't like doing that. But here you were all, you know, like in the midst of all of us just chatting away, you were just doing that work. How do you find disciplining yourself. I mean, I know for me, there's certain things I have to do to stay on track. You have a lot going on. You're a musician, you're a producer, you're a father of twins. You know, how do you do it all?
Well, that was probably an example of me not being disciplined enough, because that's one of those things I probably should have been doing at an office.
But how does it?
Because I wasn't doing it because I didn't get it done some other time. And I think that's part of it. You know, it's like, man, when do you find time to do, you know, you're the one that amazes me, because you do so much and you get so many things done and you're so productive. And yeah, I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, it's crazy. There's just too much going on. I was, you know, it's one of those things that you just figure out how to sneak things in. I don't get enough sleep. You know, I spend time trying to figure out ways to carve out all of these different things. So, you know, I use Google Calendar when it's effective, and when I have things on the calendar, it works. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes things slip through the cracks. But, you know, you do your best. You know, one of the things that I do is I have alarms that beep at me and tell me where I'm supposed to be. So you mentioned the twins. It's been the biggest change to my life, aside from having, you know, being a dad and having these people that I'm now responsible for, you know, more than my bandmates.
I think the bandmates are probably harder to take care of than your adorable children. I love your kids. That's what I say.
Right. But, you know, the thing that's been the weirdest thing is the time management, because I take them to school and pick them up from school, because my, you know, my wife's job is a lot less flexible. So because I'm, you know, I'm the entrepreneur, so I have a little more control of my schedule, but it has really changed my schedule, because now I have to do everything within this window to make sure that I'm done in time to go pick them up from school. And that has been one of the biggest challenges over the past couple of years. They're in first grade now. So, because I have to, you know, everything revolves around this little, you know, this little 5-hour window, you know, where they're in school and I can actually be productive and get things done. And, you know, it's crazy.
I can totally relate. You know, I was, you know, pretty much a single parent. My ex-husband was awesome, but, you know, wasn't always in town and things like that. So it's amazing what you have to get done. And when you can get that, when you have that forced window, it seems to kind of make you get things done a lot faster. When you have a little more time on your hands, I think that I have a tendency to be like, oh, you know, I got till Friday, I'm good, you know. And so I always act like I only have such a window, and I think that's how it keeps me going. So
single parents amaze me. I don't know how you can do this without having a partner that's there all the time. It's hard enough to do, you know, negotiating between two adults just to get a couple of things done. But man, being a single parent, just is, as a parent that has a partner, I have to say, you know, kudos to single parents, because wow, I mean, how do you possibly manage?
I think it is, ignorance is bliss. You know, if you didn't know it any other way, you know, I agree with you though. I think there's a lot of juggling and things like that, but you know, when you've got, like you said, these little beings in your life, you know, you don't think of yourself as much. You don't have time to think of yourself. And, you know, you have to focus on what's important for them. And if you do a good job, which you are, and your wife is, and I mean, your kids, I just adore them. And I always offer to babysit, which you have yet to take me up on. But I'm going to hold you to it.
Don't worry.
Drop them off. So I want to talk to you about something else. You are extremely passionate about so many things in our world, and it is so inspiring to me, and it's brave to me. And you know, this is one of the things, you know, I know a lot of people say that artists shouldn't talk about politics, and artists shouldn't talk about this, that, and the other thing. You know, what you approach and what you bring, I feel you bring awareness to people like me. I mean, I don't always know which view to look at or which, you know, way to say, which way to understand things. And then, you know, we get fed so many different views with the news. And, you know, I know all this, I'm not even going to phrase it like our president says, but the bottom line is we don't know what the truth is all the time. And so what drives you to be brave enough to do that? Because a lot of people won't. They'll armchair quarterback it from, you know, the couch. But you go out there and put yourself out there. What?
Yeah, I think it stems from my upbringing. It stems from my mother, who was always very involved in the community, who was always working just within, you know, she worked at her church. She worked, she was always on community boards at, you know, in our small town. She was the board of the library, board of the senior citizens home. She was, you know, she was that person that you would call if you needed something, and she might not have money to give you, but she would be able to find you resources from somewhere or call somebody or something like that. And she was always that person who was lending a hand. And but she also instilled this sense of awareness as much as possible of what's going on around you, so that you can make the right decisions and that you can be a force for good in the community. And I think that where I'm different from her, because she didn't get so deeply into politics beyond the city, I kind of see things really based around a lot of the history that I learned from her and this desire to live in a way that is the right way. And I guess, you know, the right way could be different for other people, but for everyone, I imagine, but mine is based on, you know, my mother and based on the moral compass that she gave. So in saying all that, one of the things that she used to do, you know, specifically like with this month, is that she used to organize Black History Month events for us in our neighborhood and in our community, because she knew that there were things, she grew up in segregated schools, but she knew that there was an education that she was getting that was not being taught to her children. And so she made sure that she created programs that would allow the entire community, that would allow all of us to get this information and to learn things about our history, that we weren't driven to learn these things that we don't necessarily hear about in the news, and that we don't necessarily get in history books. And so I've been a student of history ever since, and I really have her to thank or blame for that or whatever. So so when it comes to politics, I also tend to look for the diplomatic way. I think that there are more than two sides to every story, and I think that you have to look beyond what is being laid out there for you by the media or by your teachers or by, you know, your boss or by your government, and you have to think about what the consequences might be of any particular action or any particular person that you support as a candidate for president. Or, you know, you have to kind of listen to people's words and then kind of think about what they say and watch what they do and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that answered your question.
It sure did. And, you know, I'm going to ask something, and I've been tossing this idea around my head and how to ask you, but you know, one of the things I think it was something you posted on Facebook or it was something I read, but it was, you know, I was born and raised in a, you know, really nice city. You know, and while I wasn't really, surrounded by a lot of African-American people. And mm-hmm. I've always tried to educate myself, but there always feels like that fine line of how do I not offend and how do I embrace and how do I help? So, you know, with it being Black History Month, I really dive into a lot of the history because I feel like we were not educated, you know, as kids. Right. And so I guess my frustration for myself is that I can never know how you feel. Like I'll right. never be able to know how you feel. And I can't pretend to know how you feel. So mm-hmm. how would you, as my friend, advise me to be understanding, more open, more educated? And I don't want to say the word sympathetic, but just empathetic without acting like we'll ever get it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, you're framing it exactly the right way.
Good.
And
phew.
I think that's the way that you get it. That's the way that you get it. We can't know how anybody else feels, period. I mean, we all have different experiences and we may have a lot of shared experiences with some people, and we may feel like we understand where people are coming from. But when, you know, at the end of the day, you go home and close your door and I go home and close my door and you don't know what's happening or you don't know what's happened to someone during the day. And how they process that information. So the best thing that you can do is to be open and to, you know, start from a place that understands that we don't necessarily know everything. So that's the first thing
mm-hmm.
is I can't pretend to know how you feel or, you know, I can't pretend to know what you do at night when you're at home and how you live. So in looking at those at all of our shared experiences and how we process experiences differently, I think that's where we have to listen. And a lot of times people spend a lot of time talking and talking at people and tell people how they think they should feel based on the way things go or the way they look at something in the news. And I can't really tell you how I think you should feel. You feel the way that you feel. You process your emotions differently than I do. What I can do is I can tell you how I feel. And if I can do that in a respectful enough way that we, you know, hopefully avoid argument, or if we're arguing, we're at least civil to each other about it, you know, and we find a way to come. That's the way that you come to common understanding is one of the seven habits of highly effective people. It's seek first to understand and then to be understood.
Mm.
So if we listen first, come to the table with this sense that we want to get to know each other, that we want to be better friends and be better allies and whatever the term may be, then it all starts from a place of listening, a place of understanding, and then we can move from there. Because if you think about it, especially when in terms of American history, we have all been, you know, we've all been lied to. I mean, I don't want to parse it and say different things. One of the books that was really helpful to me was a book by an author called James Lowen called Lies My Teacher Told Me. And what he talks about is the fact that in American history, we've all been given this narrative that has shaped this idea of the United States as this exceptional, wonderful place. And it's very different from a lot of other places, and the freedoms that are listed in the Constitution have kind of shaped the idealism of the country. But at the same time, there's this dark other side where we hate each other and we treat people horribly and we kill people for no reason other than making more money. And we, you know, there's all of these dark side that comes behind this drive to be the best and to be the most. And so, you know, you're lied to in school just as much as I was lied to, you know, and it's I think that there's a way that we come together around trying to figure out what is the truth. What is the reality of a particular situation? And it happens even when we watch the news today. I mean, people are spinning a particular news story or just based on the way that their news organization wants you to understand it and the way that the political structure wants you to get it. And I don't want to, you know, go too far deep into it, but you know what I mean? It's like we have to kind of look for ways to discover the truth, be open, but be skeptical. And so as you and I are talking about a particular situation or whatever, we just have to be open to understanding each other and open to discussing our different points of view. And we may not get it completely, because our, you know, our worldviews may be completely different, you know, but if we're open to understanding each other, then that's where we can build some common, we can find some common ground to then move forward with, okay, so what do we do about it?
So we start from being human, really. I mean, that's where it starts.
But being human is only part of, you know, you don't have to, it's listening.
Listening.
Really is what it is. It's listening.
And we don't do a lot of listening when you think about it.
And because we are human and humans should listen, mm-hmm. but we don't always listen.
No. You know? How many times are you in a relationship, you know, a conversation I'll be with my husband, I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk to you about something, but I don't want you to think about your response until I'm done talking. You know,
right.
Because we're always like generating in our head what our response is going to be before we even totally listen to the whole mm-hmm. thing. And so, you know, the news is on and I get to this point where I don't want to watch the news and I just want to live my life. But meaning not avoidance per se, but that I know what I want to be as a human being and to be to other people. And,
right.
you know, kindness and all of the, which is, I don't want to say generic, but start with love, you know, start with the hardest and easiest stuff, technically. And
right.
do you feel it's important to, you know, stay within the news or, like you said, just keep researching and keep going? And I guess because we only have a couple minutes left, what would be your advice to people that may be different than you, and you've already said it a lot, but as you go forth, as you raise your children, what are you going to tell them? How are you shaping their future in regards to the differences within our world?
Well, I mean, that's, oh man, there, I'm learning so much from the children and from how they view the world, and I'm probably learning as much from them as they're teaching me. You know, one of the things that is really interesting now is that they're just getting into this understanding that they're of the differences between people. So they go to a very good elementary school in Royal Oak called Keller Elementary. And wonderful principal, great program there, really good, strong academics. But they are, you know, they are one of, there are two of a few brown-skinned children that are there. And that's the way that they frame it. Miles came home a few months ago and said, you know what, there's more beige people at our school than brown people. And I said, well, is that a problem or is that an observation? That's just an observation, you know, it's not a problem. It's just, you know, just something that he's noticed. It's been a little different for my daughter, because she's, I don't want to stereotype, but girls process things and they deal with, they socialize differently than boys do.
We're more emotional. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
in some ways,
yeah.
in some
and
ways.
So,
yeah.
So for her, everything is centered around friendship and, you know, from the very earliest of ages. And she, you know, she just kind of walks into a room and tries to decide who she wants to be her friend. And she goes to that person and just says, okay, I want to be your friend. And she gets kind of upset if that person is like, you know, well, I'm busy right now, you know, but, but that's, but she, yeah, she processes everything around this idea of being friends. And so for her, the subtle differences in the way that girls talk to each other and all of that has been different. So she's processing the skin color thing a little differently than Miles is. And I don't necessarily know that it's because anybody has said anything to her or that she's been treated differently, but somehow she just notices that, that she's, that things are a little different for her at this moment.
Which, you know, can be like a girl thing. I mean, I remember because I had brown hair and everybody else had blonde hair, or, you know, I had blue eyes and all my sisters had green eyes. I mean, there's that sensitivity thing. And I, we have to have you back because we are out of time, but I want to say that, I feel so blessed that you're in my life and that you do bring more awareness for myself just by things that you post on Facebook. And I just want to commend you for that. And yes, you do an incredible job of juggling everything. So continue to do that. It does get easier. And sooner or later, they're going to be like, Dad, see you later. I'm going to take the car and your heart will skip a beat, but you'll have this time to have a coffee by yourself and you won't even know what to do with yourself when that happens. So thank you again. Can you tell everybody real quick where they can find your music and, you know, just information about you, what your website is?
Absolutely. Yeah. My website is nadiromowale.com. That's NadiromoWale.com. And that's where I am on all the social medias, at Nadir Omowale, and, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, see pictures of the kids on Instagram,
yes.
All that good stuff.
And if you want to be moved to another level, just go see him live. It is incredible. The energy is off the charts. Thank you so much, Nadir, for joining us. I love you.
Yeah, can I?
Go ahead.
Playing with my trio at Bolero. Have you been to this new place, Bolero, the bowling alley?
No. Oh, no, but I was there years ago, but I know they redid it. So, yeah. So when are you playing there?
Yeah. So they're on Leap Day, February 29th.
All right. What time do you start?
Yeah. We start at 9.
All right. We'll check you out. All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.